another episode of Puck Rambles Podcast. Today we talk CBJ Florida, Anaheim 3-on-3 overtime, and more CBJ. Let's do this.
Alley Hockey.
Sanzi.
Hey, Carl. How you doing, buddy?
How you doing?
I'm good. The season is in full swing here.
Full swing, about seven games in.
Yeah. Although I got to say, like, as a Wings fan, like, this schedule, they're playing, like, back-to-back and then 4 days off and then back-to-back, 4 days off. So it's kind of tough. But it's given me a chance to look around the league, watch a lot of players, a lot of other teams. Which is probably better right now, anyway. So
that youth movement in Detroit is really coming through, though, right? That Larkin kid's really
doing some great. Damage. Oh, I couldn't even imagine if he weren't there, this team would be even more of a tire fire than it is. But anyway, we'll see. Not too much on them. I think they're a bit lost, no identity. So we'll see what comes through here. But
so happens when Babs leaves, man. Lose your identity.
Yeah, but to be honest with you, I think so. Yeah, because there's no big personalities there. Zetterberg didn't inherit the team that Lidstrom did, and obviously you got 20 years of Yzerman, so they're a little sort of lost, I think.
It's interesting that you say that. There's no big personalities. It makes me think of the time when Zetterberg got the captaincy and how it was kind of like a de facto captain. He didn't really want it. Datsyuk didn't want it. Nobody really jumped, ahead and sort of voted themselves out.
Yeah, and you look at what's going on in Montreal now, and I think they've got a good team, but I also think it's sort of, I don't know, I mean, you might feel a little bit differently, maybe me being a bit of an outsider, not necessarily a Habs, fanatic, but I do like the Habs, and, you get Pacioretty, you got the leadership there, it's solid, and that's the guy they vote for, and there they go, right off the gate, they're just, they're rolling, so... they know who they are. They know what they want to play, what they want to do.
They know who they are, but yeah. This is 3 or 4 years in the making, right?
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So not too surprised with a team like Detroit. Even Boston, you look at Boston right now, it's really struggling. They've lost a lot of really key pieces there. Guys that helped them get back to the cup final. So, you get these teams that are sort of in limbo. What are we? Where are we going? What are we doing? So it'll be interesting to see what goes on with them.
Which brings me to my first question for you. What is surprising to you thus far in the season?
I think I could go super negative or I could go positive. I'm just going to go positive right here and maybe throw you for a bit of a loop. But Arizona, they've been fun.
Yes, fun. The young kids on that team are off the charts, mate.
Was it Minnesota? I can't remember the backhand goal. The Ty Domi backhand goal was a goal.
Nobody would shoot from there.
No.
Nobody would shoot from there.
Yeah, the only players that shoot from there are like a Crosby, a Datsyuk, yes, a Kane. Sure. Just guys that are just, they've been there, done that, ain't no thing. I got
but that's
this.
Like three of them.
Yeah.
Like in the entire NHL, maybe three. Maybe let's just say five players would actually attempt that shot.
Yeah,
the ball's on that kid to be able to do that.
Yeah, that's what you got to love about the kids. Some of these kids, there's just no fear, right? And that's the thing, as you mentioned, Larkin, he's just out there playing hockey, going for it, where everyone else is, they're not. They can't hockey at all. And you look at some of these kids around the league, and they're just balls to the wall, right? They go out there, there's no fear, they're just going for it, and it's so much fun to watch. So Arizona, you look at them, they're 3-2-1. Look, it's 6 games in the season. I get that, but they've scored.
But they're not last.
They're not last. They've scored 18 goals. Their goal differential is +4. We haven't seen that for a long time in that column there, a plus. And they're not only competitive, but they're fun. To your point, these kids are fun, and for me, that's really caught me off guard. And I like the new look. I like the away, like the white jerseys, right? The away sweaters. Those are nice. I really like those. I'm still not crazy about the coyote head, but I like the color scheme. They look better. what they're wearing, and they look better on the ice.
And plus, their goaltender is actually coming through right now.
Yeah, Smith has been pretty good. Yeah.
Because he used to be a great goaltender. He used to be one of the top goaltenders in Canada.
Yeah, well, and he was on the was he on the 2014 team, right? I mean, they chose him as one of the goalies, yeah.
And it's a very, very exciting team to watch.
It is, and there's some hope there, right? Like, if I were in Arizona, like, I'd be going to those games to watch those kids. And you still got a guy on the blue line. Sorry to ramble on, but you still got a guy on the blue line, Oliver Ekman-Larsson, who, playing anywhere else in the league, all we would be talking about is, oh, wow, this guy reminds me of Nick Lidstrom. Wow, he really plays like Nick Lidstrom. Oh, wow, he's really smart like Nick Lidstrom. But he's there, and he's sort of lost.
To me, it's interesting also that this is happening in Arizona right now, because it's kind of like a do-or-die season for them. They're the team that might be moving to Las Vegas if Las Vegas doesn't get an expansion franchise.
Yeah, that's the rumor, yeah.
They're the first team to go. They're more likely to go than Florida is.
Yeah.
And Florida is right now, they're talking about renewing contracts with the city. And if that goes,
right,
they'll be safe for another 2 years, which means that their chance of moving get even slimmer.
Yeah, and we all know the trouble that Arizona's had with the city officials there, the city council and all that.
Right. All to say that this is coming at the perfect, perfect timing. This wave is coming at the perfect time.
And it's been fun. And you mentioned something about Florida, and that brings me to my second sort of surprise, pleasant surprise,
Jagger.
which is
the Yagster.
He's been great.
It's the mullet, mate. The mullet.
Yeah.
The mullet's coming through. The guy's coming out. He's over a point a game right now.
Yeah, he's been fun to watch. But what I was going to say is Aaron Ekblad's beard is a thing of beauty. Not even Eric Ekblad, the player, the person, just his beard. This is how awesome this kid is. How old is he now? He's still not 19. Even 20 years old. He's 19. This guy is going to be the best defenseman in the NHL one day. He really is. What do you give him? Another 2 years, 3 years? He is...
If he can become a top three... in the league in 3 years, that'll be unbelievably impressive.
It is, yeah. I mean, it's just a slam dunk call. I mean, look, it was kind of an easier call in that draft year with him, first overall for Florida. But
to get just, a first overall of that caliber, though.
Yeah, and he stepped in right away. Yeah, he was a bit sheltered last year, but he's playing bigger minutes, bigger situations this year, that beard. And he's so mature. Like, he's such a smart player, so mature. He just seems like a really good dude, like really well-grounded. He's awesome. He's going to be there. You know, you would hope as a Florida fan that guy's there for, you know, another 15 years.
It'll be interesting to follow Florida, only to see also if Barkov can actually break through this year.
Yeah, he needs to step it up. Bukestad, Puri. There's a lot of guys that have Huberto. A lot of game in them. Huberto as well.
They're a good team on paper. They're a very good team. Well, very good. They're a good team on paper.
Yeah, they are.
So it'll be interesting to see if these guys can come through. Jagger's doing it.
Yep.
And it'll be interesting to see if they follow suit.
Yeah. How about you? Surprises.
Surprises for me, of course, it's CBJ, right? It's Columbus.
Yeah.
I'm also surprised by Toronto.
Mm.
There's three teams. There's CBJ,
yeah.
Toronto, and Anaheim.
Anaheim, yeah.
Those are three teams that are just sort of baffling in some ways, surprising in other ways. CBJ going 0-7 after pretty much being called out as a surefire bet for a rebound year this year because of so many injuries last year.
Yeah.
They haven't been able to get through.
No. And I mean, we said that here, right, on this podcast. Yep, they're going to rebound.
Did you think Bobrovsky would be this bad? Did you think their D, their D was suspect, but this bad?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there you go. Look, you got a team that's undefeated in Price. And what's great about the Habs this year is it's not all Price. Like, he may even be better than last year, which seemed impossible. But the team is proving that they've really put it together now. Like, it's a great team now. And, you know, you can count on a save there, whereas you get the opposite in Columbus. And when you've got your goaltender after getting spanked telling the media, "I have no confidence," that's not, you know, that doesn't look good at all.
And if you play in front of a goalie that has no confidence or isn't stopping the first puck,
that's tough for you.
You play completely differently defensively.
And it's just a letdown, you know, because you could play hard, you get close, you get a goal, you're chipping away, whether you're behind or you get a lead. You know, that's the thing, too. They haven't really jumped out to any big leads, right? They've been playing from behind a lot. A lot of close hockey, a lot of hockey from behind, and then he lets in a stinker, and it's just, you know, man, it just lets the air out of you.
Well, they're very top-heavy, right? That first line is great,
for
but
sure.
After that,
yeah,
it does trickle down quite a bit.
Yep.
But I was just going to go back to my point about having a goalie that can't stop the first shot.
Yeah.
It's a completely different way of playing D, right? You're taking away the shot now as opposed to trying to take away the rest of the plays that are possible.
Yeah.
So now you're out of position most of the time, always leaving backdoor plays open.
Yeah, it just leads to breakdowns.
And you can see that in Montreal right now with Price being so on top of his game. Guys aren't even challenging shooters. They'll let the guy shoot from anywhere.
I'd let him shoot from anywhere. Go ahead. Like, I mean, just you just step back and play zone. Like, whatever.
And that's what CBJ can't do right now.
No, they can't. Yeah, I mean, a lot of teams can't, but especially CBJ, when you don't have the goaltender, you can't do it. You can't do it. So, you know, now you got Torts coming in there, so we'll see what happens there.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Yeah. Which is my question for you.
Yeah.
CBJ, the Arizona Coyotes, Leafs, or Calgary, who gets more points at by the end of the year?
That's a great question.
Before day one, we would have said what? We would have said Arizona last?
Yeah, for sure.
Followed by the Leafs?
Yep.
Then what? Then maybe
Then it would
Calgary,
be sort of a toss-up. Yeah, maybe even Calgary ahead based on the year that they had last year. And look, I mean, that's another thing we said on this podcast. This is a team that went out and they addressed their issues. And
that's right.
You know, they're making these adjustments. They know they got outplayed. Their shot differential wasn't great. Corsi doesn't look good. You know, all those advanced stats don't look great. So they go out, get Dougie Hamilton. They bring in
Who has
Frolik.
Not been playing well.
He has not been playing well at all. He's a goal. I think he's -6. Frolik has been okay, but they're not putting it together at all. I don't know. I think maybe most improved team is probably going to go to the Leafs. They're already playing a lot better.
That Babcock effect is in full effect.
Man. Yep. Yeah, he's good. He goes in there and gets the job done for sure.
I mean, they're not winning any games.
No, but they're in the games.
They're 1-3-2 right now.
Yeah.
But
even today,
still.
I mean, you know, look, it's Buffalo, but they had a shutout going up until like the last 5 minutes. They sort of Buffalo stole a point there. But anyway, they're improving for sure. That's a hard question. I still got to think that CBJ rebounds somewhat as well as Calgary. I don't think this is going to last in Arizona, as fun as it is to watch. But
so you're calling Arizona still being last between those four?
Yeah, I think so. I just think it's probably going to run out. Mike Smith is going to get injured. You know that because he just does. It happens every year. And how much are the kids going to have a full 82-game season? That's tough, man. You know, even guys like McDavid, he's still on a roll now, but these guys are going to hit a wall eventually. It's a lot of hockey. It's a lot of, you know.
Talking about the kids, Jagr had a really good quote about what it was like to be a young kid entering the league as mm-hmm. opposed to a veteran. He basically said something along the lines, I'm paraphrasing here, of the kids come in at playoff ready.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
On day one.
Yep.
Because they're playing for their lives, right?
Yeah.
Their training camp is actually their playoffs.
Yeah, they got 9 games.
And they have to make it.
Yeah.
So they're in playoff shape right off the bat. Whereas a veteran like Jagr, supposedly, even though he's got a point a game here,
yeah.
He basically said you just feel your way through the year. And just so you can be ready for the playoffs once they come.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So if that's true, and if that's the case, then we should expect Duclair and Domi to fall off around, you know, the 40 or 50 game mark.
Yeah, like probably just sometime in January, start to slow down for sure. That happens to most rookies, or a lot of them anyway. That happened to Goudreau last year in Calgary, Monahan a bit the year before that. So,
but will it happen to McDavid, mate?
Yeah, will it? I don't know. Yeah, he's, you know, the guy's played a lot of hockey as well.
I think it depends
where they are, right, as a team. Because if they're sort of still hanging around and in the mix a bit, then those games are going to get tougher and tougher and tougher. And people are going to, you know, I mean, this is the thing. As good as he is, he's already... He doesn't go unnoticed, right? I mean, the game plan is to stop that guy. And to your point, as veteran players, older players start to kind of crank it up a notch, you know, later on in the season, when you really get teams that are playing their best hockey, we'll see where he is. You got to imagine he'll probably hit a bit of a wall, just because most rookies really do, no matter how good they are.
But lately, have you been watching him? Been keeping tabs? I'm guessing you have.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's been phenomenal. He's been great.
Something clicked.
Yeah.
Something clicked. They put Yakupov on his wing, and something clicked. And you know what? It seems like he's using his speed a lot more.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas he realized, oh, I can actually put the jets on here, and yeah. That is effective.
Yeah, and I think I can't remember who it was. Maybe Elliot Friedman. I was reading something earlier this week. I think it was him. It could have been someone else. But anyway, one of the hockey writers was saying he just sort of felt like he also needed to get all of those firsts out of the way. You know, first game in the NHL, first home game, first game against Calgary, Battle of Alberta. And, you know, it's just all these little sort of, you know, kind of milestones as you're starting your career. First goal, first multi-point game. You know, just all these little things. He's getting more.
First multi-point
game.
Yeah,
first multi-point
game. First 7-point
game.
Yeah,
today he gets his game winner. You know, let me just run
it. Just like
it.
Every other rookie out there. Just yeah. All my firsts, you know.
Yeah, you know. But yeah, I mean, what's he got? He's got 6 points now, I think, 6 or 7 points in 7 games. So, and he didn't have anything. The first few games. So, yeah. Anyway, I would guess that he's going to hit some kind of wall eventually. Or again, people are just going to get tougher and tougher on him. But he's a phenomenal hockey player. He's going to endure. And he's going to be just fine, obviously.
Let's go back to CBJ here. And Torst.
Yeah.
Torst just came in as a new hire. A bit of a surprise hire, really? I would say, for most people in the hockey world. It seems like the reason why Torst was hired as opposed to, you know, someone else is they had to pick someone who wasn't presently working.
Yeah, a couple of guys in Europe like Boucher and maybe Crawford, they can't get out of their deals, right? So
It seems like he was the better of what was available, although Carlisle was available, and I'm wondering why they didn't pick Carlisle over Torts. But
yeah,
it seems like Torts and Davidson, the president of the CBJ.
Yeah, they sort of go way back, and Davidson's a big fan of Torts. Yeah, yeah.
That's right. So what do you think his impact's going to be? Do you think that he can turn this ship around?
I don't know. You know, I think he's already said... It'll be interesting to see like how much of a changed man he is, right? Because he's... I was reading today, he's already said, like, I know I have to listen more. I've got to be a better listener. You know, I'm going to lean on guys like Dubinsky. Now, I don't know if leaning on guys like Dubinsky means, you know, hey, go out there and do what you did before and just shut up and listen to me. Or if that means, you know, hey, buddy, like, tell me what this team's like. How do I get to these guys? So we'll see, you know.
It's his last kick at a can here. This is it.
For sure, yeah. And in Vancouver, you know, he was better with the media. He really was. It was really, he just had that one ridiculous outburst against Calgary, right? Where he
was enormous. Just,
you know, I mean, as soon as they hired Torts, I think I sent you a text, like as a joke, you know, when do they play Calgary? You know, it's just like...
But also in Vancouver, he was putting the Sedins out, blocking shots and playing some D.
Yeah, yeah. Which seems insane, but, you know, I mean, look, I mean, McDavid today was out on the penalty kill. You know, now you're starting to see Crosby out there killing penalties. I mean, this is what Babcock did with Zetterberg and Datsyuk. I mean, it just, you lean on your best players. And your best players should really be all-around players, guys that can play in every situation. So that's not surprising to me what he did to the Sedins. I don't know what his impact is, man. I really don't. I don't know what to make of this team.
Well, he's always run a really defensive sound team,
for sure,
system, right?
Yeah.
So if anything, it should shore up the D a little bit and at least help out Bobrovsky and Nets here.
I think that's probably first on the list, right? We're not trusting our goalie right now. Who's their backup? McElhinney, who is, you know, whatever, he's a backup, right?
Yeah.
He's not going to run with anything. So you got to just start winning some games. So I wouldn't be surprised if, yeah, they sort of, you know, defense first, take their chances when they can get them. But
another team that's surprising too is the Anaheim Mighty Ducks.
Yeah, not so mighty.
Anaheim Ducks, yeah, we're not so mighty right now. 5 games in, they've won one.
And 5 games in, they've scored 5 goals. And 4 of those were in their last game.
And how many of those come from Perry or Getzlaf?
I don't think any of them did last game. And also, I watched that last game pretty carefully, and they played Minnesota, and Minnesota hit, I think it was four posts. Anaheim was not great in that game. They were actually lucky to win that game. And even in the dying seconds when they're up, Minnesota pulls the goalie, you know, gets the extra attacker out there, and they just rip one again right off the crossbar with like 3 seconds to go. The horn goes, and everyone sort of circles around Kubotin. Anderson didn't play that game. He hasn't been great either. And, well, he's been okay. They just haven't been able to win, right? And you could just see this smile on Kudobin, and he's just shaking his head like, whew, that was a lot of posts today. Like, there was a lot. They hit a lot of posts today. So even in that game, they really weren't that great. But you got to figure they're going to turn it around eventually.
Well, they were favorite to win the West.
They were a favorite to win the Cup. Not only the West.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If they don't turn around soon, they might be in trouble to make the playoffs.
They could. The good news for them is that division, no one's really running away with anything, right, yet. So, you know, even San Jose's, they've got 8 points. They're 4-2.
But it's a hard, hard division. That's the only problem with that division.
It's tough. It's tough, yeah, and it's going to get tight. But, you know, they're probably lucky that Calgary is – you know, not playing well. You got to figure again, Arizona's going to fade eventually. Edmonton will probably fade, but much, much, much later in the season, you would think, or at least hope as an Edmonton fan. Maybe, you know, in March, they're sort of out of it instead of January. But yeah, they haven't been good.
Oh, man. Another thing we should talk about is the 3-on-3 overtime.
Yeah.
The best change in the NHL rulebook since the red line being taken out, or since the touch-off offside have been reintroduced.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on 3-on-3 overtime?
It's been fun, although I have to admit I haven't caught very many games. And still the best game that I saw was the first one of the season, which was Tampa Bay-Philly, which was just insane. It was so much fun, but I haven't really seen too many, that have been that good. I mean, even today it was Buffalo, Toronto goes 3-on-3, no goals to the shootout. Philly and who did they play?
The Bruins.
Went to 3-on-3, no goals. And then there was a penalty. So it went 4-on-3 but oh man, that Giroux shot. Yeah. That was just like exclamation point, F you, we are out of here.
That's right. And it was a comeback win.
Comeback win, and he was just, oh, when he's on, man, he's fun. He gets fired up. He gets really fired up. It's fun to see.
He gets in playoff mode almost every game.
Yeah, he does. He does. He's fun.
It's that French in him.
It is, and it's great. You know, you read the guy's lips after he scores goals. Well, most guys, but his especially, you're like, oh, yeah.
A few F words. But yeah, I saw both those overtimes today.
Yeah.
There was another one also. The Hurricanes and Avalanche also played.
That's right. That's right. I forgot about that one today.
But who really cares?
Yeah. Well, Colorado, you know, you get McKinnon, Duchesne.
Sure,
Landeskog,
yeah, great. Win a game. Win a game. That team should be way better than they are right
yep.
now.
Yep.
Anyways, I watched most of them today, and I can safely say that they don't compare, of course, to the Tampa Bay Philly game at the beginning of the year. But they were still fairly exciting. Not really the Toronto one, but definitely the Flyers-Bruins one. And what was interesting about the Toronto one is that once the shootout came along, I got excited again. Because it was rare. You never see shootouts anymore.
Yeah,
and it was
an
exciting
shootout.
Yeah. And I got excited for that again. And I thought, you know, this is one of the things that 3-on-3 overtime is actually bringing. They're taking away most of the shootouts of this year. It'll probably take away, 70% they're hoping? To 55 to 70% of the shootouts will be gone.
Yeah.
So actually, when it does arrive, it's actually, you know, on a 30% to 45% chance of it happening once overtime hits. I mean, now you've got something to look forward to once a shootout hits, because it was still exciting. Ennis came in and just full-on slap shot from the hash marks.
Yeah, I love that move. I love that move.
It's such a ballsy move. I don't want to do this. I'm not supposed to. Why am I here? This thing sucks. Whatever. And he just levels it post in.
Yeah, I've got dinner plans, boys. Like, let's get out of here.
I'll always remember when Rolston did that when he first started the shootout.
Yeah.
It was such a, this is what I can do. I shoot.
That's it. Moves? Nah. I'm doing this. Yeah, and you're right about the shootout, because I haven't seen a shootout yet.
Exactly.
And it is. I bet when I do see it for the first time, it's going to be, like you said, it's rare and it's sort of more intense, right? Like there's that added drama that it's like, ooh, we're going to shoot out now. Whereas before it was just almost like a given, wasn't it? It was
just as soon as overtime hits, just skip overtime, just go to shootout because we're wasting our time here. No one's going to score.
Yeah.
So pretty happy with a 3-on-3 overtime.
Oh, it's a blast.
Again, same thing. When a penalty hits, it's a bit of a letdown, although the Flyers did prove that theory wrong today because that power play was potent.
Yeah, and like we said, I mean, just that shot for Giroux, I mean, he scraped the ceiling with that stick. I mean, he just leaned into that with everything he had, that slap shot. You couldn't even see it. Like, you just didn't even see it. You just knew it went in, game over.
It went short side, and it wasn't even the goalie's fault.
Oh, no, there's no.
Although Rask played a crap game again.
Nope, wasn't good. Yeah, they have let in, right now, the Boston Bruins. Super great defensive team, right?
The number one power play in the league right now.
They have let in 26 goals in 6 games. The only team that has let in more is our beloved Columbus Blue Jackets, who have let in 34 goals in seven games. They're already -21 goal differential.
Horrible right now.
Oh, that's bad. Oh, Jesus, that's bad. But
they're
not
supposed to be this bad.
No, not at all. But again, I mean, you couldn't get a save out of your goaltender for about probably three or four out of the first 7 games. So that hurts.
That hurts.